You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Folks, this is Beth, health and wellness expert, along with Dr. Scott Clitheroe, back for a brand new show, and we are so glad you decided to join us today. This season so far, we've talked about fitness, nutrition, natural ways to stay healthy, what having good health means, and why it's so important, and today is no different. Today, we're going to talk to Gary Golding from Discovery Channel's hit show, Naked and Afraid. This is Gary's second time to be on the show. Well, because we just love his enthusiasm, and I don't know about everyone, but I am like a sponge when I talk to him. Most of us have heard or seen the show Naked and Afraid. For those who haven't heard of it, it's when two people are stranded in a remote location without food, clothes, or water for 21 days, and they have to live off the land and use their skills for survival. So without further ado, I want to introduce our special guest, Gary Golding, to the show. Like I said, this is second time on A Healthier View. And when I think of Gary, I not only think of a true survivalist, but also a man on a mission that doesn't hold anything back. You know, I really think pop culture has helped us think about survival. There are zombie movies and TV shows out there, such as Naked and Afraid, that really gets the needle moving and makes us all question our core values. Like, how would we respond to others when we're hungry, tired, or cranky? It makes us question our own personal survival skills, or in my case, lack thereof, and what would I do in that situation? I'm going to have a link on this show's landing page so our audience who might not be familiar with Naked and Afraid can view it. So Gary, well, first off, welcome back to the show, but I have to ask you, why did you initially decide to be on Naked and Afraid?
Oh, initially, the main reason I chose to do the challenge, Naked and Afraid, because it really is a challenge. And so, you know, we don't really view it as a show, although the audience might, but it's truly a challenge. And the reason I did was because I'm a man who lives for a sentence that is the most powerful sentence known to all humanity. And I want to, and it's the answer to a lot of the problems we have going on in the world. And I went on the challenge to basically carry that message to the world. And the sentence, which is a directive, which is an action, and rather than a belief in the brain where you talk to a deity to try to achieve a paradise, it is an actual action that, if done by all, can achieve a paradise right here on earth. Because if we all would just consume as little as possible and make that the human consciousness of every human on earth, the planet, if we would do that today, consume as little as possible, the planet would be cleaner by tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And that actually equates to love, because that means the water, the air, and everything would be cleaner for the children of the future and the animals that have to walk this earth.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. You know, that kind of resonates with me. I think that a lot of times healthy behavior begins with simplicity, you know, trying to eat more simply, maybe try to stop packing so much into our lives, you know, simplify, have some time to slow down and meditate and relax and get a lot of the noise and clutter out of your life. So that kind of, that resonates with me as well, Gary.
Well, Scott, you're a doctor, and it's understood by many that fasting is incredibly good for you, especially done on a healthy level. And also, I talked to another doctor. I was giving a kayak tour on the Los Angeles River, and I'm fascinated by fasting and longevity. And I was talking about, even on a selfish level, consume as little as possible is incredibly selfish, because if you apply it to you as an individual, like say your diet, it's a known fact that you will live longer. And he said that he had five centurions come through his office and so many, 15 years of practicing. And he told me, he would say, "So what is your secret?" And he said, every single one of them told me, "I'm not much of an eater."
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It seems to feed into the biology of our ancestors, you know, where we would go times without eating very much. You know, there'd be times when we didn't have much to eat. We couldn't find anything on the ground or kill something or grow something, and the crops were kind of sparse, and so we had to kind of make do with what we had. And I think that kind of fits into our physiology pretty well. So I agree with that. Certainly, I know personally that I feel better. I would rather be in a mild fasting state than an overfed state. I mean, I think some of the most uncomfortable as I am is when I kind of overdo it with something that really tastes good, and then I sit there and go, oh, you know, kind of that feeling you have on Thanksgiving or something or some other time. That's just not a pleasant feeling. Your body's trying to tell you something, I think.
Oh yeah, when your kidneys hurt and well, because you know it's so funny because it's so simple and so basic when you break it down. And this is one thing I learned about even with my teeth going to the dentist. When I was in my 20s, I used to work out a lot. And I would eat a whole bag of green apples when you'd buy those bags. Mm-hmm. And it would be like 15 to 20 green apples all day long. And so I was physically fit and very well built. But being a doctor, what do you think was happening to me? What do you think was going wrong?
Well, you weren't getting enough protein for one thing. That was one thing. And you were also just not kind of modifying your diet to get a little variety. And then if you have any kind of reaction to the pectin or the other.
Oh, well, check this out. Yeah. Check this out. My teeth were rotting because I was putting acid and sugar across them all day.
So
what I've learned is you're better off to eat 20 apples in one sitting than you are to eat them all day long, because if you brush afterwards, you'll get that stuff off your teeth. But I was soaking my teeth all day in sugar and acid. And so it boils down to the teeth are a prime example of exactly what your kidneys, your liver, and every other organ in your body are going through, because that means all day long they are working and working and working. And it's better to hit them with one dose, stop, and eat once a day.
Yeah. There's something to be said about that for sure. I think that certainly when you eat, you know, small amounts over time, it's obviously hard for some people to do it with their lifestyle. But at the same time, you know, when you do sit down for that one meal, you still have to watch out for your portions. You don't, you know, overdoing it's not a good idea for a lot of reasons, digestion and whatnot. Sometimes your splenic, the blood flow to your gut increases. You can get other problems elsewhere, you know. So I think, I think the intermittent fasting has been pretty impressive to me, that it has helped with glycemic control and, you know, weight loss. And most people can do it without too much distress or, you know, a heartache, so to speak.
Yeah, it's funny. So now back to the challenge, right? So I've been three times in 14 months. And so I've gone on, and we get a small stipend so we could survive and pay our rent while we're gone. And so I've been sort of paid to go on fasting retreats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good for you.
And you see, it's so in line with my message, consume as little as possible. So when this challenge is almost made for a human being like me.
Mm-hmm. You seem on those challenges, y'all. I mean, what I've seen of it, you know, the vulnerability level is pretty high. I mean, you know, you really are out there kind of exposed. I mean, how was that going through that process? I mean, that's a big question. But what was it like coming back home? And coming back to an urban environment with all the creature comforts of home and living in a modern society, how was it there, and then how did you transition back?
Well, to answer that question, on my first challenge, my first 21-day challenge, which is season 9, episode 4, an episode mm-hmm. called Forbidden Fruit. It's with the mm-hmm. first like full black female to do the challenge. And mm-hmm. It's something that I think is really cool that I got to be a part of. And I lost 44 pounds in 16 days. And on day 16, I I poisoned myself and I roasted a fruit that it was the craziest thing. I could eat it when it was green, but when I roasted it, it turned into a powerful acid. Nobody has ever seen it. Nobody saw this before. And when I ate it, it gave me third degree burns in my cheeks, down my throat. And then all of a sudden I start feeling this burning in my mouth and I'm swallowing my flesh. I'm like, oh my God, you know, I swallowed some, what's that got to be doing to my esophagus and lining of my gut. Right. And sure enough, I start drinking all this water and using my fingers to clean up my gum line, and my stomach starts hurting and I poisoned myself and I injured my kidneys severely. And they had to rush me out of the wilderness in the middle of the night on a stretcher, vomiting profusely with an IV in my arm. And I spent 5 days in a Brazilian hospital recovering on saline and all that stuff, right? And
yeah,
a saline IV and all that. And so basically, I almost killed myself the first time.
Wow.
And so to ask about this journey, this is the one thing about this challenge is people don't realize how real this is. And they pride themselves in like the realest reality TV show there is. And we literally sign up for death and disease. And
yeah.
I recovered for 84 days and they put me back in the wilderness in Africa for a 40-day one. I gained my weight back and I was in the top three of near death on my first episode. And I went back and I did the 40-day one and I did very well. And I lost 40 pounds in 40 days. And I lived off of a maggoty dead animal and stuff that nobody else would eat. And then I went back a third time about maybe almost a year later. And it's coming out this Sunday on March 24th on Discovery Channel. And that one's going to be super exciting because in this next one coming up, there's actual near-death experiences. And I literally get hunted by an animal and it's trying to kill me. And, you know, it's going to be pretty interesting. And what a lot of people don't know about this challenge is you're not allowed to tap out at night. And there's a reason for that. That is because, they have a medic on hand. And in the nighttime, all the cameramen and all the producers go to their hotels, eat chocolate mousse, drink champagne, and talk about the day, right?
Yeah.
And, like, literally, this is no bull, right? And they tell the medics and all these people from Africa that are watching over us, hey, these guys aren't allowed to quit. And if you let them quit while we're not here, you're basically like, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And so how it works, you beg and you scream for help. Now, I've never done that, but people have. And if you beg and scream for help in your shelter and in your spot at night, the medics come, they take your vitals. And if your vitals are okay and you're still living, you know, you're not medically in trouble, they look at you and they say, tough, you ain't going nowhere. And then they walk away into the dark. And they walk away into the darkness. Now in Africa, you're in a boma with thorns around you, and they walk away into the darkness with a man with a rifle by their side in case a lion tries to kill them or a hyena. And they walk off in the darkness. And if you try to go follow them later in Africa, in particular, is a place where walking through Africa at night, butt naked, barefooted, you are incredibly vulnerable and you can easily get killed. So you have to basically sit there in your boma, in your shelter, if you are a person in distress, and shiver and cry and do push-ups and struggle. And that's where, because you know why? That's where the good TV is. that's where the word afraid comes in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's, yeah, you said it's a challenge to the contestants and, you know, to what your experience is, but it's a show to the public out there. But there's a lot of learning to be done. There's a lot of, you know, they can certainly live vicariously through what y'all are going through, for sure.
Oh yeah, you learn a lot about yourself, no doubt, right? You know what I mean? And you learn your limits. And what happens is, the, just just like anything you practice, the more constant you get. So this third time out, I went with a what was considered to be a rival from my last episode. I got in heavy arguments and fights with this individual named Matt Wright. And me and him end up getting paired together. And they kind of want to pit us against each other. And they gave us each, like, a fan. And we had to go out there and sort of, like, mentor these fans and then meet up. And it was pretty wild. And there's going to be more wildlife in this particular episode than I think there's ever been.
Wow.
I know you've prepared for these challenges in some way your entire life, but what physical and personal hurdles happened during these shows that you just didn't expect?
That I did not expect. You know, I'm in a situation where I expected everything, but I will tell you, the one thing that you aren't sure of when you're a first timer, you know, I'm a veteran now. I've been out three times. I know what to expect from production. But the first time I was out there, my partner quit right away. And on the first night, when they actually set the cameras up on batteries and said, "All right, see you guys later," reality hit. And I was like, holy crap, there really isn't a guy like 20 yards away with a gun with who monitors these cameras all night in case there's wild, like if a wild cat jumps on you. You're in a fight for your life.
Yeah.
And there's no guy guarding you. There's no, or woman, cause there's women too. There's no human being protecting you. And how that would work is if you were able to call the medic, at that point, then it would be because you were tore up and the cat ran off. But if not, they would have to find you dead in the morning. And
yeah,
so that's what people don't realize is this is where you learn. So my partner left right away. So on the next night, I'm like, wow, I'm all alone. So you kind of don't have anybody to bounce off of and go, did you hear that? And like, and look a little bigger with and yell at something with. So you're more of a, you know, in nature. You know how nature works, where they kind of isolate an individual and then they take it down, right? So
yeah.
you are now automatically isolated. and you know it. And this is where you learn about yourself. And I learned that, you know, I already know this in life, but mentally I had to truly tap into it, where the worst thing you could do is mentally be scared. So you have to tap into the fact that if something attacks you, you're going to be the killer. And it's the only way you'll have a chance, because if you turn and run,
they got you.
It will definitely kill you, because it's programmed to kill you when you turn and run. And they think twice when you face them. So you really have to have the conviction and belief in your brain that you're going to kill something if it dares come near you. And yeah. I tapped into that, you know, I tapped into that, and it got so bad with the insects that I almost craved it in the night. Like, give me something big. But like, okay, with a small bug. Now here's how that worked. With the small bugs, you don't have control. They don't play psychology. You can't scare the bugs away. But if a cat came, I was kind of hungering for that, because at least I would feel like I had control.
Yeah. Yeah. So all these little tiny insects in the night biting you. You can't see them. You can't hear them. All of a sudden, they're biting on you.
Yeah. Oh, and in the daytime, I had about 3 hours every night of blood sucking flies, and on the fifth day, I found a beach that was, it had this sand like sugar, right? And I was going to sleep on the sand. I was like, oh my god, this is going to be so nice. Well, guess what? Now I had 3 hours of flies until the sun went down. And then when the sun went down, I went to go to sleep on my bed of sugar sand, and it was full of sand fleas. So then the sand was sucking blood.
Oh my gosh, that would drive me bonkers.
Oh, you know, it did.
Yeah. I mean, Gary, you mentioned the first episode, the first challenge when you had the kidney injury and had to get hydrated in the hospital. What just from a physician standpoint, what medical issues followed you after the other challenges, and if any? I mean, did you have any problems when you got home? Any complications from the insect bites, skin infections, et cetera?
Well, you know, the first challenge, because you literally sleep on the dirt constantly. I came home and I couldn't stop the itching on my arms for a month. And I went and saw doctors. I tried all kinds of stuff. I couldn't stop the itching on my arms. And they were just itching. So then I just broke down and I bought this organic fungal cream from like a health food grocery store. And I rubbed it all over my arms. And that's what stopped it. So it must have been like a ringworm or an athlete's foot type of stuff all over my skin, right?
And yeah, yeah.
So this fungal cream, after a month, I tried that, and oh my God, I finally got relief, and it went away. And but then my second one in Africa, two of my partners, Matt and Trent, both got malaria, and Kayla came home and. She was diagnosed with a couple things, and I came home, and you know, in that particular XL, the 40 days out there in the wild, I actually kicked butt, did very good, came home with nothing, just feeling good, you know, lost 40 pounds, and I didn't have any sicknesses to deal with or nothing.
Wow. That's incredible. I mean, malaria was my next question, so I'm glad they're okay. But you keep in contact with that, Matt? I know, Matt, you had some challenges. You say y'all keep in touch?
Matt, you know, is on our second challenge, I knew that Matt was a good guy just trying to do the right thing. And there was a group of people talking negatively about me, and to break it down, how this worked is a lot of these people knew each other from before because all of their episodes aired and mine had never come out because I filmed them back to back. So the audience, the fans didn't know who I was, the cast didn't. And some of these people have been to like trade shows and reality TV gatherings where they actually hung out with each other personally. So not only was I an outcast on the actual challenge for the audience to see, but personally, I was an outcast to all of them. They knew each other.
Yeah.
And I was, I felt I was treated as such. But you know, that's right up my alley. I'm designed for that. I'm made for that. And I did what I had to do to handle it. And the last thing I was going to do is, suck up and beg for friends. So
yeah.
I just sort of went with the whole, well, okay, yeah, I'm a completely loco madman.
Yeah.
Because you'll see people, you know, what comes with my position now is a lot of people will attack me in social media and stuff like that. And I'm very short. I'm pretty much a very very a-holy type energy if you come at me with any kind of negativity. But if you come at me with kindness and love, I'm extremely gracious, very, that humbles me. And I treat people kind because I treat kindness with kindness, and I treat people that are unkind with absolute viciousness. And I'm getting better at it because I'm realizing that, you know, sometimes I win them over with saying like, hey, you know, I know that you think something, but sometimes the more you explain yourself and the nicer you are, some of them just want to just keep trying to run you over. I've had people on social media try to really dig in and ruin my life, threaten to call my bosses, because I'm pretty controversial, and I've had them threaten to call TMZ, like some sort of celebrity police, and turn me in. And it's so funny, the people out there that because their favorites don't like you, which I had seven fan bases that were, because seven people were kind of disgusted with me and talking bad about me on my episode. That means there's seven. Now you got to multiply that seven times a lot of people, because that's seven fan bases that are attacking you, because the idea of television is if the one that they like doesn't like you, then they don't like you.
Yeah.
So I had seven fan bases coming at me, and you know what I did? I started putting up quotes from like the Spartans. And I said, then I will fight in the shade. And I just owned it. I was like, okay, I'm made for this. Attack me and I will stand my ground. The last thing I'm going to do is back down and let you scare me away. Someone actually threatened Lacey's life, and she actually came off of social media for a while. And I said,
wow,
there's no way I'm going to let that happen.
Yeah. That's terrible.
But what's going to happen in this next episode is going to be, really powerful stuff, and it's going to show the side of me that they saw in my first episode, very nurturing, very caring, and, you know, just like when someone's kind, I'm kind, and
good.
There's going to be some cool stuff, but I got to, you know, when it comes to diet, I am the guy who's actually known on the show for having pretty much the craziest diet. When I was out there, I ate the brains, eyeballs, tongue, heart, liver, marrow, and testicles and penis of an impala.
Oh my goodness.
So
nothing goes to waste, right? Nothing goes to waste.
Oh yeah, and I chopped the head off of a dead animal, and the legs. They don't show the legs. And I bring back 100 pounds of meat, and no one else will eat that except Sarah and Lacey. And I live off of that meat because no one else will eat it for a week, just laying there like Cleopatra, just eating that stuff in front of them. I would literally, you have to understand, they were calling me gross, right? So
yeah,
I know that they're painting me to the world watching as some sort of gross human. So I just said, okay, if this is the way we're going to play it, then I'm just going to play it my way. And I would lay around like Cleopatra all day and just eat that meat like I was an Egyptian king. And I would just be like, ah, yes. And I will tell you some funny behind the scenes stuff. How they work it is the cameraman or the producers will ask you questions while you're laying there to try to simulate, you know, see what you're up to. Right. And
yeah.
And it's totally normal. It's not like they'll ask you a couple questions like, so what are you doing, Gary? And so I had my team standing around me in a circle, all getting ready to go and like hunt and forage. Right. And they're starting to get hungry. Right. And then I had a bunch of meat on the end of a knife, and I'm laying there on my side in the dirt next to a boiling pot. And they go, so what are you doing today, Gary? And while everybody's kind of like thinking about going out to forage and stuff, I go, just eating like a king. I pretty much rub it in.
I don't think I can do that.
Did you get some of the other folks to try it? You grossed them out. Did they try it too? Because they must have been hungry.
Well, I will tell you some behind the scenes, which doesn't make it, is at first, Melissa goes out there. She's the blonde girl and very strong, she left her bow out there when we were sitting under a shady tree while we were finding our camp. So I said, okay, well, I'll go out there with you to find your bow. All the meanwhile, knowing I was going to harvest those legs. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt had not shown up yet. And so I'm hatcheting off those legs while Melissa's pulling them aside and stretching them open. And she says to me, there's maggots squirming around and flies everywhere. But that's on the back end. You have to understand, and you being a doctor would, on the back end, there's all these flies and maggots because the leopard had taken it down and ripped its guts open. And so there was like food and the tender guts hanging out, and the flies went for that right away. So there was, you know, when you have fresh meat in the wild, even when it's fresh, the flies will gather around it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So she goes, I'll probably be the only one that'll eat this with you. And I just sort of laughed. And I came back with two big legs, like the size of my legs, because this is a big animal. It's like an elk almost, right? And so anyways, I bring these legs back and I throw them down and I'm all, we're going to be eating like kings, right? And so then Sarah is starving. They were watching her closely medically because they were worried that her organs might fail. And she's a very skinny girl anyways. And Sarah sees this red meat and she goes, where'd you get that, Gary? And I go, come on. So as a motivator, I said, you want to go with me? I'm going to go back and get the head. And I was going to go get it no matter what. And so she goes, yeah. So Sarah comes out there with me. And I pull the, you know, she holds the horns and I hatchet the head off. And that's all caught on film. And it's like a 50-pound head. And so it's got these like 2-foot horns, right? And so I put the horns, they fit perfectly with my head between them, with the back of the animal's head over my shoulder. So I hold the front of the horns and I cut the back strap out, which is the filet mignon part of the animal. And these 2-3 foot long lengths of just raw red meat dangling over the horns in front of me with the head on my back behind me with the snout aiming backwards, like a 50 pound head. And I carry it back to camp and I throw it on the ground. And I'm like, so I bring back like 100 pounds of meat, maybe 80 pounds of meat. And if we would have butchered that, man, we would have all been eaten like kings, you know, very strongly. And nobody, now Sarah helped and she actually ate a steak and Lacey ate some. And Trent actually came over and he's like, well, I don't want to, he picked out the good ones, the ones that smelled good. And I said, yeah, go for it. Pick out what you want. You know, I'm Gary. I'll eat anything, you know? And everybody basically kind of acted a little interested except for Lacey and Kayla. They definitely said, I'm not eating any of that. and Sarah ate a steak and Lacey ate a couple steaks and I ate for a week. Oh, not only did I eat for a week, check this out. This is the beautiful part where this was so amazing that this goes with my lifestyle and my message that Shane actually used the rotting meat that was not far from camp to bait his hook, and he caught catfish with it, and then he caught a turtle. And so that meat, even though it was a week old, now that it was stinky, was now catching food and feeding my tribe. So it was still feeding people indirectly. And so I was going like I was a little bitter that they were talking negatively with such a powerful survival move. And then I literally made the skin into a hat and I used it as sun protection and I wore the hat and it kept the sun off me. So I not only did I take the animal and nourish myself, I protected myself from the sun and I used it to catch other food to feed my tribe.
You know, that is amazing. I don't know.
That's incredible.
You're right. I mean, I would like to think that I could be the trooper and try that.
I want to switch the conversation just a little bit and talk about nutrition for a few minutes. So first off, I love your tattoo. I'm actually a tattoo fan, but your tattoo simply says consume as little as possible, which is such a humble yet powerful statement when you think about it. So you, Dr. Clitheroe, and I all have a passion about spreading the word of clean living and eating for good health. But for you, this is the mission. How did this way of thinking become a mantra in your life?
You know, I love that question. Now, here's what I'm going to say about this. Now, this is where, now, Beth and Scott, this is where I this is done intentionally because it's sort of an IQ test of the ego of the viewer, because I want to see who cares about what you say or how you actually live. So I got this unique approach that I get criticized for all the time, and that is that I act incredibly arrogant and cocky with a humble message. to see who's going to be stuck on to see who's going to focus on your actions or your words. And so, because actions are more powerful than words. So now to answer that question, I claim to have the most highly functional tattoo in the world. And what I mean by that is it doesn't say like someone who I love's date of death and their lifespan, which is a beautiful tattoo, right? Or like about your, you know, there are beautiful tattoos, but my tattoo actually reads as instructions and a directive and an action to take to make the world cleaner. And it is now seen by 91 million people on Earth because the Discovery Channel, this Naked and Afraid challenge is seen in around the world, the Philippines, Brazil. And now this is where it gets really deep and where people don't realize my depth, because if you watch me on the challenge, it's hard to tap into what I'm really doing because it's just way too involved. But I want to point something out to you. Now, this became my mantra. I say that it's a gift given to me by the universe, because I never thought that I would be the guy that would say I possess the most powerful sentence known to all humanity and I have been given the answer. Now, that's not something I thought I would say. It's something I kind of stumbled upon and said, like, consume as little as possible. And inspired by a good documentary called Consumed, which is made by a really cool man. I forget his name, and I should know it because he's one of my inspirations. And then also documentaries on fasting, like the guy from the BBC, Eat Fast and Live Longer. He made a documentary. And then there's another documentary called The Price of Sugar, and about how even the sugar you consume is actually done with Haitian slavery from the Dominican Republic to this very day. So everything that you touch literally affects the earth. So as you see people arguing over meat, like Kip Anderson, who made Cowspiracy, well, it's like they get so focused on one single item that they leave out the fact that it is every single thing you touch on earth. So I cut out all the debate, all of the everything, and I come up with something that is undebatable, because they are mining for gold in the Amazon right now using mercury and killing all the animals. So those who wear and buy gold, those who eat a whole lot of meat, those who use too much gasoline, everything you eat, those who use too much sugar, because the sugar cartel has found a way to put sugar in your bread, everything they can. And they do that for a reason. The more they push, the more they sell, the richer they get. And it works just like a drug. And so so now the food industry, since we're talking about diet, has tapped into this. And they now manufacture food and test it in a way to where it's no longer for nutrition, but they make a lot of stuff that functions where you eat it for a feeling, just like using a drug. And what are drugs derived from? Plants. Well, guess what? So is the sugar in the food you're getting from these food companies. So basically how it became my mantra was the observation of this and realizing, as I saw everybody debating their cause, meat, oil, everything, I realized, hey, everybody, you know what? You really don't need to argue, because if you sprinkle this sentence, consume as little as possible, on every single thing you open your mouth about, the problem is solved. And
that's so true.
And so now it came about, and I claim that I almost uncovered it like a treasure, where I got to see this for myself, and I recognized it, and I'm the man who unburied it and found it. And I said, the world has to hear this, man. The world this is really the answer. Because you see, people tell me all the time, no, love is the most powerful word, Gary. And I say, no, it is not. And I will tell you why, because it can be misconstrued. People love gold. They love shoes. They love handbags. They love diamonds. Some people love violence. Some people love war. So no, love can be sprinkled on in a wrong way, but consume as little as possible is an actual, more specific directive that cannot be used the wrong way.
That's great. What, I mean, when you, to our listeners, like, what are some simple things they can do? They get motivated by your passion. What, you know, just some simple things they can start acting on tomorrow. What can they start doing to kind of follow that mantra?
I love that question, because you know why? This is what it's designed for, actually. Consume as little as possible. You'll notice it's actually directed at the consumer. Mm-hmm. Because I teach children. I teach children gardening all over Los Angeles. So I empower children with the ability to grow their own food, and I teach them how to eat it. And so this is my life. Every inch of my life is nature in the urban world, right? And so to answer that question, the reason I developed it is it goes to show, look, the average man and woman does not have access to the high-powered politician and the owner of the corporation. So the best way to manipulate, to vote, actually, is with your dollar. So I teach 8-year-olds, did you know you're old enough to vote? And they go, nuh-uh. I go, yes, you are. I go, when your birthday comes, tell your parents you do not want balloons on your birthday. Tell your mom and dad you don't want bottled water anymore. Tell your mom and dad, you know, and I have a chant that I made up for the children. And here's how it goes. I say, what's the most valuable stuff on earth? And they go, poop and soil. And I go, more valuable than what? And they go, diamonds and gold. And I say, and why is that? And they say, because you can't eat diamonds and gold. And I say, and what's the most powerful sentence known to all humanity? And they go, consume as little as possible. And I say, because if every human being on earth did that today, the planet would be cleaner by tomorrow. And you can see that on my Instagram. There's a cool video of me doing that with the children. And now, to answer the question fully, is I tell them that they can manipulate their parents' purchasing dollar, and then they are now voting to their parents. Because if you want to stop violence at the border, then do not buy drugs and cocaine. If you want if you want to stop draining Lake Superior or whatever aquifer they're draining for bottled water, don't buy bottled water. So as a consumer sitting on your couch buying nothing and doing nothing, you can actually be an activist that impacts and influences what happens to the corporations, because they will adjust according to the consumer. So as I see consumers complain about how, look what they're doing to the planet, I'm going like, yeah, because you are actually the one that demands it. Blame yourself.
Yeah.
No, if you're mad at the bottled water company or the oil and gas company, then drive less. Because here's what I tell people, because people give me a hard time all the time. They say, well, what about your cell phone and what about your car? Like, because I drive and have a cell phone, right? And I go, hey, look, it says as possible in it. You do not see that I never go around claiming the sentence, do not consume, because I'm realistic. I know that you have to get the kids to school. I know, you know, I use my van to actually save bees, teach children, and my phone right now to carry a message. So it's how you use these things, and we have to be realistic. I never said live in a cave and live like a caveman. I'm just saying, you know, to answer your question, buy a phone, you know, every 5 years, not every year. You know, drive as little as possible. Carpool. Do not buy bottled water. I carry refillable glasses everywhere I go. I actually bring my own to-go containers inside of restaurants. I share a meal because there's always some left. And so if everybody in one day didn't buy bottled water, do you realize in one day how much less plastic would hit the earth?
Oh,
and
amazing.
So people underestimate their actual power if put into action as a whole organism. Like if every human realized that we could act as one huge organism, then we could stop. And I'm going to give you this. This blows me away when I see environmentalists do this. I have several that I follow online, and it's weird how they stay away from me. I think environmentalists have huge egos, and they'll say, yeah, we're doing a beach cleanup. We got to reduce your plastic use. And I'm like, hey, maybe you should spread this sentence, consume as little as possible. And why do you just focus on plastic? Why do you just focus on meat? How come you guys don't attach this sentence to everything? And they just don't want to, you know, I'm aggressive. I'm pushy. And I do it for a reason, because I'm also testing the egotistical IQ. And I almost have this feeling where, like, if I can scare you away with my behavior, and you're more focused on my behavior, and my message doesn't resonate with you by itself, even if the devil himself said it, then mankind kind of has it coming.
Right. You know.
That's so true.
Well, Gary, you're a very talented man. And not only are you a passionate teacher of Mother Earth, but on your website, you have something called local boy tours. I'm actually looking at your website right now, but these tours are where you're basically a concierge for anyone who's interested in a package deal, where they can pick activities like hiking, biking, horseback riding, learning survival skills, and so much more. I mean, seriously, so much more. But can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, you know what's really cool, which I don't know if I put it up on Local Boy Tours. Did you see the picture of me kayaking with the whales?
No. Send us a picture.
Cool.
My real website that's the core of who I am right now is called Gary Golding of Naked and Afraid, and that's my Facebook page. And I'm pretty radical politically, too, so I have to warn people, because I use shock value and provocateur energy to create awareness. But Gary Golding of Naked and Afraid is my Facebook page, where I kind of post things mainly and then sort of spread it out from there. So on Local Boy Tours, I don't know that I put that up there, but I take people kayaking with whales and dolphins. And I'm talking, when I say kayaking with whales, I mean like whales 5 feet from you. Oh. So I expose people to nature on a constant level while I'm teaching children in a very gentle style. In person, I sort of treat adults a lot harsher, because I figure they're actually lazy and complacent. And I don't know how many women I've sat at a table with and told them about gold and diamonds. And they looked me, you know, I told them how gold, mining for gold, they use mercury and it's killing the Amazon. And they'll look me dead in the eyes, these people that nurture children and are supposed to be the ones who breastfeed them, and look me dead in the eyes and say, I don't care, I still want one.
Mm.
They are literally, indoctrination runs so deep that I look like the crazy one. And so I take people out and I get them close to nature. That's my entire life. And you're going to see me in this upcoming episode get extremely close to nature. But it's the most beautiful thing. I take people out kayaking up very close to whales, or stand up paddling very close to whales, snorkeling with sea lions. And that's what I do, to answer your question there, Beth. I do get people close to nature, but I try to get them closer mentally with my creating awareness the way I do, in a provocateur type way. But it's funny how cognitive dissonance works, and they will blame you for making them feel bad, because we live in a society where people's feelings matter more than the children actually dying. So they'll say, well, maybe you should try a different approach because you hurt my feelings. And I'm like, well, yeah, because it's actually a test on Gary Golding's part. I want to see, I actually want to know if you care more about your feelings or the dying children. And you know what I find? A lot of them care more about their feelings because they think their feelings actually matter.
Wow.
And it exposes them to everybody else. But what I hope is that it exposes them to themselves. But you see, they've watched commercials their whole life. So to them, I'm just some mean guy. And who am I? What do I know? And I'm very versed in this area. I've done my research. In fact, when we were going to go, my episode that's coming out was supposed to be done in the Amazon. I researched the area and I told the production company, hey, that particular area is one of the most deadliest places with mercury. I can't even swim in that water. We can't even eat the fish. Like, you're just sending us to basically ruin our lives. And they said, oh, Gary, if you Google anything, it'll scare you. And then 5 hours later, I got a call back saying, okay, we're not going to send you there.
You're right. Yeah. They had no idea.
Well, yeah, because this is what I live for. This is my life. And I wish the world would listen. I'm over the top. I'm passionate. People tell me it doesn't work. But at the same time, you know, if it doesn't work and they keep putting me in front of the world, well, then a man my age doing what I'm doing, you know, doesn't get these kind of opportunities much. And if this is how not working looks, well, then I guess I'll keep doing it wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
Gary, what do you do in your spare time? What do you do in your spare time, man? You just seem so passionate. And it sounds like your whole life is what your passion and hobbies. Do you have anything you do on the side that's just for you?
Yeah, that would be going out there with those whales and being with nature. And so what I've tried to do is turn into what I do for my spare time. In fact, the package that I have in my local boy tours is called the local boy package, because I basically, what I try to do is take you to do what I like to do with my spare time.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? That's cool.
If you want to come to California and you want to experience California without having to walk down Hollywood Boulevard and stare at stars on the ground and get a picture with the Hollywood sign, and you actually want the safari of California, which is on the ocean, then that's what I offer.
That's awesome. That sounds great.
And you'll get to experience California the way most tourists don't normally do.
That's very cool. That's very cool.
I'll have to take you up on that. We actually have a listener that has called in to ask a question. Our caller is Beverlyn Roberts from Indiana. Bev, what's your question for Gary?
Yeah, hi guys. I listen to your show all the time. Hello. I'm a huge fan of Naked and Afraid, and my question for Gary is, why do you think there was so much friction between you and some of the other cast members in the XL season? And do you keep in contact with them?
Oh, okay, I will answer that. I can answer that question very good, and I love this question, because even when I come in contact with fans and the public that recognize me, I love telling them, especially because, people have this version in their head that they think I'm competing to be the alpha male, right? Well, here's the deal. Imagine my perspective, 25 days struggling with people. And if you did you watch the last season of XL?
I did.
Okay. Do you remember? Now you see me picking figs and feeding them, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, okay. Now, what you don't know is I'm doing that every day. Like, you don't know how many calories I provided. You really don't know until you watch the reunion episode and you actually hear Lindsay say, Gary brought 80 to 100 pounds of meat. So here's a guy providing fruit, 80 pounds of meat. And what you didn't see was a monitor lizard I caught earlier that day that had 8 eggs in it that Lindsay boiled up, soft boiled, and everybody got eggs. In that day, not only do I provide eggs and come up with 80 pounds of meat, but now what happens is, now here's what I'm going to tell you. They don't like the fact that, if you remember, See, what people don't understand about me, did you see my first episode with Tara, my 21-day episode?
From my recollection, yes, I do. I remember.
Okay. So this is where it gets into mindset, and I'm going to tell you what I'm actually doing there, and it could be taken wrong, but for the person that's the viewer or the person out there with me, you see, I may look mean and I may look weird, but I'm going to explain to you what I'm actually doing. Remember when I'm with Kara and the flies are all over me, and I say, I actually love the flies. I eat them and I suck them in and I start like acting like I'm eating them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, now look, I'm trying. Now, Kara is crying because she's focusing on the flies eating her. So I'm trying to give her something. I'm trying to give her mindset to survive the situation and how I look at it, like they showed up and they're my dinner. They're not eating me. I'm eating them. And so I desire these flies. And I program my brain mentally to function that way so I can actually enjoy the survival situation. A lot of people don't know you can control your situation. So now this is what happens. I'm going to explain this to you. I know that my team is a little queasy and scared to eat that meat. So if you remember, I bring back that head, and I'm doing this on purpose to try to give them my mindset. And remember, I throw the head down and I go, we're going to eat like kings. And they're like, we're a little iffy. And remember, now this is where people start thinking I'm being a bad guy, but no, I'm just trying to give them something. And remember I said, well, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to make fun of you if you don't eat it. In other words, you call yourself survivalist and you won't eat 80 pounds of freaking meat. I don't get that concept. And so I'm trying to give them my mindset so they can devour that meat as easily as I. And you got to remember, Matt didn't show up yet and nobody knew Matt was going to be there. So then when he does, due to the fact that they know him so well, they kind of take to him, and I'm like, wow, 25 days of hard work, giving them figs, providing 80 pounds of meat, and all of a sudden, I'm not the popular guy? So they complained about me to Matt, and Matt, being a good guy in his heart, thought he would step up and defend all of his friends because I was an outcast. So I wasn't fighting to be the alpha male. I was trying to give them mindset so they could eat as comfortably as I did. See, I was trying to give them something. They just took it wrong. And then on top of it, I had to let Matt know, no, look, just so you know, there will be no alpha male. You can be theirs. If one of them yells to the sky, I love you, that's great. And if they worship you, good for them. But Gary Golding will not. Now, you're a teammate. We're going to be teams. I don't want to be your boss, but I don't want you thinking for one second you're going to be mine. Now, I think any one of us would think that, unless you want someone to follow. Well, I'm not Gary. I'm Gary Golding, and I will follow and take suggestions, but I won't take orders. And so I just had to stand my ground and make clear there will be no alpha male. And there was friction. Now, what I want to explain to you, what a lot of people don't think about, is remember I had to leave that boma because I had to take a few craps. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Well, guess what? What people fail to recognize because they don't live in these situations, you're not supposed to leave that boma. There's leopards and lions waiting to kill you. That was actually extreme manners in a survival situation where I actually left it in the first place and risked my life to try to make sure to not do that close to them. And I was out there crouching down, vulnerable and scared to try to be as polite as I could. And then they took it and labeled me as gross.
Yeah.
So I was like, are you guys really going to do this to me? Like, they knew what they were doing. They knew that they were marking me to the world with their fan bases to have to deal with the backlash of that situation. And marking me the gross guy, right? And because they didn't like how I was sort of marking them as weak for not eating that stuff, right? So there was a little bit of a, a battle there. And so what happens is they try to label a very, very powerful survival technique as a negative technique, which I never got sick, by the way. If you have to understand, if you ate meat for 2 days straight all day, even if you eat it from a restaurant, you're going to take a few craps. All I did was take a few craps one night, and then I ate that meat for 3 more days without incident. Mm-hmm. And I got stronger and stronger while they were getting hungry. And so I had a real problem with what they were doing to me. And so that's when I said, okay, it's on and cracking. I guess you want to label me that way. I'm left with only few choices, and I could lay there and go, why are you guys being so mean to me? Or I could be like, you know what? I'm going to lay here, look strong as I really am, and gloat in this and be like, delicioso. And just eat like a king. Because, and I actually took them aside. If you watch the show, hey, if you watch the challenge, do you remember? I sat them all down and told them to not do that to me. So I gave them the opportunity to stop doing that. And they basically told me, no, we're going to do what we want. Tough. And if you remember, Matt kind of like me and him really have a problem. And so I tell him, you know what? I realize they're going to keep doing this. So then I kind of tell him off. Right. And because the last thing I'm going to do is be like, why are you guys doing this to me? And then because the way society works, if I was to get all crybaby like that, the people would run me over even more. And I knew I was left with one choice. And that's when I said, you know what? I'm only left with being first of all, people out there in the world that know survival, true survival, actually think that that was a negative survival move. And they're that uninformed. Well, then, and they think I'm crazy instead of highly intelligent with that move. Well, then I have to make fun of the audience too. And so I'm just like going, you know what? Anybody that thinks this is negative has it coming, because that's why I coined the phrase when I was out there. If you're not willing to eat maggots, you don't really want to survive. If you're not willing to eat maggots, you're not really a survivalist. And what I mean by that, if it comes down to life or death, and you're going to die, and you don't have the stomach to eat maggots, well, then guess what? You are weaker automatically, and you will die. And so if I was to teach a class on survival, I would teach that your number one survival thing would be your stomach and your mindset, because that's what I actually talk about, what I'm trying to give people. When it comes down to real survival, and if I was left with only a bowl of maggots, Gary Golding's going to sit down and eat like a king. And it's called gratitude and appreciation. It's one of the most basic things they teach in spirituality, period. And I have it for the most disgusting things that people view disgusting. Gary Golding has gratitude for. And I want to pass that on to people. That's why I have a video on YouTube where I feed 50 people, homeless people, from a trash dumpster, because it's called gratitude and appreciation, and nature threw a feast at my feet, and I would be a fool to not eat that. And I was good till day 40 with that. I didn't need to eat again. So the friction came from me sitting them down. Now listen, you have to understand. Now here's the deal: giving them the choice to start talking about it as a strength or a gross weakness. And I said, why don't you guys talk about it as a strength? They denied it. And then I kind of basically let them know, okay, well, what happens when we leave here? Sorry, guys, but you're leaving me with a campaign to pretty much have to take care of myself and protect myself, because you guys made sure that I get labeled the gross guy. Now, when we get out of here, it's on and cracking. And I will say what happened, my mindset, and how it went down without holding back. And I will just speak the truth, because there's one thing that I want to be known for is my integrity and being the most honest, real guy that you've seen on that challenge.
Yeah. Of course. So do you keep in contact with any of the other cast members that you're with?
I keep in close contact with Kayla, because Kayla gives me love, and Kayla when I would look at Kayla when I was out there, I would look up at her when she'd be standing over me. I remember her standing over me by, when I would be by the fire on the ground, and I would say, thank you for being so real, and thank you for being, thank you for, I'm so glad you're out here, man. You make me feel, these people are trying to make me feel crazy, but you're not, Kayla. And I'm going to tell you a little bit, I'm going to tell you a little behind the scenes. Now, when you eat that much meat, no matter who you are, even if it's from a restaurant, you will get the crash. Because remember, we got that impala and that warthog. Mm-hmm. But what they do not show is everybody starts eating all that meat. A bunch of them got the craps, and they were running out to the woods. But it was the middle of the day, and it didn't make for interesting TV because they were all able to walk off and conceal it because it wasn't nighttime when things will kill you, and so therefore. Lindsay was the only one. Lindsay, coming back from having to go to the restroom multiple times in the day from eating that fresh meat, like the meat I was eating, says to me, Gary, I'm so sorry for judging you. I apologize because now I see what you were saying. And I look up at Lindsay and I go, Lindsay, you're the only one that said that to me. I'm so grateful that you even have that kind of fortitude and like integrity to actually speak up and say that to me, because none of them would dare say that to me. And Lindsay actually did say that to me. So even the fresh meat, you got to remember, we're starving out there. And if you eat a whole lot of meat, period, without as much as I ate, as much, like what you don't know, you don't really know how much meat I was actually eating. I was eating all day, laying around, being smart about my calories, cooking that stuff, stomaching as much as I can because there was so much. And I didn't want it to spoil, so I was like, I'm just going to gluttonize for 5 days. Gary didn't have to forage. Gary didn't have to hunt. In fact, if everybody would have helped me butcher that meat, we would have all been living like kings. So I was left to sort of, I was left to look like the bad guy. And for the audience members that want to be judgmental, it's sort of who I am as a human being. If you're a judgmental human being, I'm going to force you to dislike me even more, because who are you if you were not there? And yes, I keep in touch with Kayla, and Sarah won't talk to me anymore. Me and Matt are friends, and, I'm going to make sure to help sell some knives, because Matt's knives are incredible. And I'm going to tell you some inside information. Matt made the bow that Kayla used, and Matt makes the bows, the knives. That man is talented as hell. And that's one thing you will never, ever hear me say about Matt, is he doesn't know what he's doing, or he's not a good survivalist. So people are so funny how they take it. I said, no. He's amazing at what he does. He's just not my boss. And so I do keep in touch. Melanie Roush was very kind to me. Jeremy McKay wants me to come out and visit him. Trent won't talk to me anymore. So some of them, I'm kicked off of the cast page. And one of the fan pages kicked me off because I get so attacked that I decided to sort of, instead of cussing people out, I sort of kind of started calling myself Daddy.
Yeah.
And it pushed some buttons. But the ladies that run the other main fan page loved the death out of me, and they gave me sanctuary and protection and a platform because they weren't judgmental. Mm-hmm. And so I wear like a badge of honor that I'm kicked off of that cast page, because a lot of those cast members never met me and attacked me. And a lot of those people, some of them, you have to understand, a lot of them don't like each other.
Oh, really? Okay. Kind of behind
this. Oh, yeah. And what they don't, you have to understand, with a man like me, what people don't like about me, this is what my father told me. He said, you know what your problem is, Gary? He said, you don't have any hangups. You're too comfortable in your own skin. People don't like that. He says, your problem is you have to deal with everybody else's hangups. Because I speak I just speak the truth. I just say it out loud. I don't hold back. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you judge. I just say what's real and then let you have to sift through it and be like, and decide if you can handle it or not. Because I'm just going to say the truth. It's like I have a good story about my life. I was approached by Discovery Channel years ago to make a show about my life because of the way I live. Mm-hmm. And I told them a story about Hatui, the native from, he's the first national hero of Cuba. And Hatui, the Spaniards conquered Hispaniola before they made it to the Americas, and they tried to convert Hatui. They decimated his family. They wiped out his tribe. They raped their women. They killed his whole family. He made it to the next island. And February 2nd what year was that? Anyways, it doesn't matter. And they caught Hatui on the other island, but when he was over there, he told the other natives, throw your gold and gems into the sea. This is the gods that the Spaniards worship. This is what they kill us for. Right before they burned him alive to make an example of him in front of all the other natives, said, do you take Jesus into your life so that way you can go to heaven? And Hatui said, are there Christians and Spaniards in heaven? And Hatui goes, and then the priest goes, why, yes, there's many. And Hatui goes, then no, I don't want to go to the heaven because it's perspective. And they burned him alive. And so now what I'm telling you, I told the story to these people. And then when I was 8 years old, my brother was six, he made me mad. And I said, how can I hurt this child? How can I hurt my little brother? And I remembered, I discovered there was no Santa Claus and he was six. So he didn't know yet. So I said, I licked my head in the door and I said, while he was in the bathtub, and I said, hey, there's no Santa Claus. And my brother started screaming and crying, Mom, Gary said there's no Santa Claus. So my mom comes running in and says, don't listen to your brother. Get out of here, Gary. So my mom and my brother are mad at me. And guess what? I'm the only one telling the truth. So I'm here to ruin your Santa Claus. It's why I exist. I'm here to spread truth across the land. That's why I carry a message tattooed on my back forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow.
So you have to understand, people don't like a guy like me that says what they don't want to hear as they're wearing gems and gold on their body and they're drinking their bottled water. I come in and I disrupt their world. They hate me. It's why I am alive. I'm one of those human beings that knows exactly why he walks the earth. I know exactly why I was put here. Mm-hmm. And people have a hard time with that. But Beth, can I say something very quick? And I think the doctor, Dr. Scott might agree with this. The secret to life is pretty much this. It's kind of like, it's like a high fiber diet with some vinegar and, you know, if you don't have time, at least do HIT, physical training, a few minutes a day. Just get a sweat in real quick and regular sleep with some intermittent fasting. And, man, you have the answer to longevity. Yeah. And you're going to be a pretty healthy.
Sounds pretty succinctly put to me. Yeah, that's pretty good advice right there, Gary.
Yeah, and so that's what a lot of people don't know. And I forget our caller's name. But I want to let people know that Gary Golding, the madman, the crazy guy you see on the television, comes with what you see, what people are dealing with, because this was a weird thing that people said. I remember off to the side, and this makes it to the show, and I said, these people don't get me. These people will never understand me, because people don't know what sort of knowledge and where my intellect really sits, because I'm so passionate and going on firing off on so many different things. I sound like a crazy man half the time. And I'm perfectly aware of that, but I'm like, hey, you know, I'm comfortable with that. And I just want to let people know, hey, if you want to be healthy, the mindset and what I just said right there, you know, high fiber diet with some vinegar. And I can even break down why that makes sense. And, a good documentary is The Science of Diet and Disease, and a little bit of exercise and some intermittent fasting, and keep your food consumption low. And we live in a country where you die of overeating. And so that's all I want to send people away with on the show that thinks about nutrition and fitness, because I went on off a lot of tangents, but I want people to walk away with something powerful in their personal life. And please, 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 everybody out there, consume as little as possible to make the planet a cleaner place for the children and the animals of the future.
Gary, we're actually running out of time for this interview. Thank you so much for being here. And I hope our audience really enjoyed listening to the conversation we had with you. Again, thank you so much. I really hope to have you back on the show to talk more things all about wellness, because I know this is a passion.
And I'm honored. I want to tell you guys, I know I talk a lot and I'm crazy, but I'm honored that you have me on. I'm so humbled by it. People that get me like you, Beth, and actually invite me on, put me in a place of hope, and you, people will notice that actually humbles me. It doesn't take me to a place of becoming more arrogant and cocky. I just love to share. And when people come at me negative and treat me negative, well, I kind of give them what they think they know on purpose, just because I kind of want to deter them, and I want to attract people in my life that actually kind of get it on their own. And thank you so much, Beth, for having the insight. And I'm so honored and so appreciative of this opportunity. It's amazing. I got to tell you guys.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Gary. Again, everyone can find out more about his mission on his website. There's also a link to his URL on this show's landing page. Everyone staying tuned. We'll be right back from commercial break.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show. Again, I want to reiterate a huge thank you to Gary, but I also want to thank the listeners, the ones that make the show possible. I want to thank you for tuning in every show. We have received some positive feedback as well as some great questions for the Ask Beth segment. I promise to answer every question I get in the Ask Beth segment or by email. So you might be asking yourself, how can I ask a question? And it's really simple. All you have to do is send your health or wellness question to a Healthier View podcast at uptomeradio.com. I want to encourage everyone to subscribe to the show. As a subscriber, you'll receive additional information on the topics we cover, easy to follow recipes and hot deals from our sponsors for products, prices and services that support your journey to a healthier lifestyle. I hope everyone had a great time. Until the next show, have a healthy day. Thank you.